Father, as always, we thank you, Lord, for the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. It is also a lamp to our feet and a light to our path, the word of the Lord is. Now, therefore, O Lord, let that light shine. Shine around our feet. Shine to the path ahead of us. Shine in our hearts as well. And that you receive all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Well, welcome and good morning, everyone. Praise the Lord. All right. Let's get started. So today's lesson is again on moving from prophecy to fulfillment and realization. This is part two. And yesterday, I want to develop, we talked about some things, and I want to develop, a thought here this morning. Or maybe a couple of thoughts. One purpose of prophecy in our lives is to get our hearts prepared for what God is going to do. It might be right around the corner. It might be, further down the road or a little ways off yet. But when the Lord gives the word ahead of time, it helps us to prepare. And we've seen in the scriptures where the Lord will always say something like, tomorrow, do such and such. And rather than, today, he'll tell them, tomorrow you do this, tomorrow you do that. Like in the case, a classic example, I'm only going to give one example here and there, not too many examples for the sake of time. But the story of Jehoshaphat, which we have talked about multiple times in this room and which you also know, in 2 Chronicles 20, the Lord said, tomorrow you go down to meet them and give them instruction. But he didn't say today. And sometimes the Lord will give the word and give a little time to it. It'll give you time to digest it, to think about it, and a time to also worship. On the other hand, the flip side of that is, there's also opportunity there, if you're not careful, to doubt the word. Because if it didn't come to pass right away, you may doubt the word. But if you do like Jehoshaphat did, when he heard the word of encouragement and the Lord said, don't worry about it. The Lord's going to fight for you. And this great army, Moab, Mount Seir and Ammon that came against you, outnumber you completely. The Lord said, the Lord's going to fight for you. You will not even need to fight in this battle. And as soon as Jehoshaphat heard that, we are told that he worshipped. So the worship part, when we hear the word of the Lord, is very important. So let's pick up this story. I'm just going to read a few places here. Then upon Jahaziel, we're reading from 2 Chronicles 20 and verse 14. The son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph. Upon him came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. And he said, hearken ye, all Judah, and all ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude. For the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, now, he didn't say today, and he didn't say right now, but he said, tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, You shall find them at the end of the brook, before the wilderness Jeruel. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves and stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. Now, that was the word of prophecy. Now, what do you do then when you hear the word of prophecy? How do you move from its prophecy right now to that word becoming fulfillment and realization? Those were the things we talked about yesterday. Well, let's look at some of the steps that Jehoshaphat took in his own case. So we'll bring this perspective. When Jehoshaphat heard that word, because he was king of Judah at the time, he bowed his head with his face to the ground. You know, and you know, when the king is leading in worship, that's a good thing. By example, he led and everybody followed. And he bowed his head to his face to the ground. Then all Judah and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem likewise fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. That's what they did when they heard the word of God. Now that helps you to get that word into your system. Now, I'm going to give you a few stories of some people that didn't quite sanctify the word of the Lord that they heard. And then we'll see what happened. But in this case, they sanctified that word. You know, they honored that word. They hallowed that word. You know, because, oh, the word of the Lord has come. And then it just fell before the Lord and worshipped. Now, and no, not only that, you know, when he did all of that and worshiped, and all the Judah and, I mean, inhabitants of Jerusalem and all the Levites, you know, the Kohathites and the children of the Kohites, they stood up and praised the Lord God with a loud voice on high. Now, this is an important lesson, because you don't have the victory yet, but you heard the word of God. But the reaction was to worship, to praise the Lord for the promise. So that's so important. And then they rose up early in the morning and went forth to the wilderness of Tekoa and so forth. You know, and Jehoshaphat stood in the midst of the people and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and so shall ye be established. Believe also his prophets, and so shall ye prosper." You know, so those are other lessons to learn there. Believe the word of the Lord. You know, believe the word of the prophet. Hallelujah. Hey, it will do you no good if it's not mingled with faith. As you receive the word, something happens. Something happens when you receive the word with faith. Now, of course, we know that he consulted with the people right after that and appointed singers unto the Lord that should praise the beauty of holiness, whom he set before the army, and told them, commanded them to say, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever." Now, who does that? You know, that's like foolishness. You're going to battle with tambourines and singing and stuff. You're putting people who have no skills in battle in the front, and putting those who are skilled and men of war at the back. Who does that? Faith does that. That's right. Confidence in the word of the Lord does that. You know, so, and that's what they did. But look at God's reaction. And when they began, see, they were not even 3 hours into the singing or praising the Lord. When they began to sing and to praise, because the Lord already saw their heart. See, this was like immediately. And I love that word in the scriptures, immediately, you know, and, As soon as they began to sing and to praise the beauty of holiness and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. As soon as they began to do that, the Lord set ambushments against their enemies. You know, and they began to fight each other and began to destroy each other. Meanwhile, these people were just praising the Lord. So, and they utterly slayed and destroyed one another. Two companies rose up against one and destroyed them. And then when they finished destroying the third company, they faced, you know, the one company faced the other and they destroyed one another. And dead corpses all over the place. And ladies and gentlemen, that's how they did it. The elements to notice in this case was, were when they heard the word of promise, they sanctified that word in their hearts. They hallowed the word and said, my goodness, God has promised this, that he's going to fight for us. And they just fell on their faces to worship. Now, that's an art that people need to learn. Worship God once you have the word of prophecy, even before the fulfillment and the realization. So that's one way to get to it. But you got to do it sincerely. One of the things I want to call out today is that sometimes in our hearts, we're not actually believing that this thing is going to be. You know, some people voice it out, but it's better you don't voice out that unbelief. I'm going to tell you examples of some people that actually voiced out their unbelief to the word of promise. But if you don't voice it out and you just deal with it and encourage yourself to believe the word of God, and like the song we heard this morning to say, look, Lord, you've been faithful in all our generations. You have a track record that you've always kept your word and you're not about to start, you know, breaking your word now. And you just encourage yourself. You know, that's better than, you know, voicing out a dishonor to the word of God or acting out disbelief to the word of God. You know, so there are some interesting stories here. 2 Kings chapter 7, you know, there had been a lot of famine in the land because of, you know, their enemies cutting off their supply and so forth, you know, the Syrians and all of that. So Elisha, he stood up and gave a prophecy, you know, again, this prophecy was about tomorrow, not today. Guess what he said? 2 Kings chapter 7 and verse 1. Then Elisha said, hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow. Now, why is it always tomorrow? Well, give you time to process and to deal with that word of promise. Tomorrow about this time shall a measure of flying flour be sold for a shekel and two measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. Now, at that time, there had been tremendous famine in the land. I mean, you could not buy at that time a measure of fine flour. You couldn't buy it for even 100 shekels. But now he said, tomorrow you're going to buy it for only 1 shekel. You know, and so forth. I mean, it was an incredible prophecy. I mean, just was even hard to comprehend how that could be. You know? So just think of anything that you can imagine. Prices, imagine the prices of something that's, you know, say right now, $5 a gallon or something like gasoline. And then you come out with a prophecy like this and say, tomorrow, gasoline will be sold all over the land for less than a nickel. For the gallon. That's how incredible, you know, the comparison of that prophecy. And there was an army person there, could have been chief of army staff or whoever, could have been, you know, chief of staff in the palace. But it was a lord on whose hand the king leaned. You know, he was a right-hand man for the king. And he answered the man of God when he heard that prophecy. You know, quite unlike how Jehoshaphat behaved. This man said, behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be? Now, look, I was a fatal mistake to voice out dishonor and contempt to the word of God like that. And look at the reaction of the man of God when he heard that. He said, well, you will see it with your eyes, but you will not eat thereof. And the rest of the story followed. You know, after the lepers came to come and tell of the great spoil that they had seen. I'm not going to all that story. And everybody, there was a stampede. Everybody to go and loot the camp of the Syrians. You know, so when they went and did that, the same man, the same Lord, he stood at the gate trying to direct traffic. And in the stampede, people pushed him down, trotted him down, and he died. You know, according to the word of the Lord that said, and you can read it in verses 19 to 20. This thing happened to him just like the prophet said. You know, and when they went out, and this same man who had leaned, I mean, upon whom the king leaned his hand, he was the king's right-hand man, the king gave him charge of the gate, you know, as people were rushing in and out. The people throwed him down the gate, and he died. That's in verse 17. You know, and it came to pass, as the man of God had spoken to him, saying, you know, I mean, spoken out to the people, saying, do two measures of shekel and all of that. That came to pass. And the other man who had contempt in his heart and spoke it out with his mouth against the word of the Lord, well, he died when he said, might such a thing be? So, you know, we got to be careful how you respond. Let's see some people that, you know, responded to the word of God also. You know, how did they respond? Well, I mentioned a couple other stories yesterday, which I will also bring out a point again today. But let's look at Anna in 1 Samuel chapter 1. You know, of course, you know, this story of Anna. She didn't have a child for a long time, and so she was grieved. And her husband had a second wife who had children and used to mock her for not having a child. And she went in the house of God with heavy heart and praying and so forth. Words were in her heart, but she didn't actually speak the words. Her mouth was just moving, and she was silently praying. But Eli, who was the over the house of God, thought that she had been drunken and came and spoke to her and said, you know, when will you put away your wine from you? And because, you know, you're here, you know, blabbing with your mouth, nothing's coming out of your mouth. So he thought she had been drunken. And the woman said, no, let not your, you know, my Lord think of your handmaid as one of the daughters of Belial. I'm not drunken. It's a sorrow of heart. You know, and I'm pouring out my heart to the Lord and so forth. So let's pick up this story in 1 Samuel, you know, chapter 16. And when, you know, when the man realized that he was in error, well, he spoke a blessing to her. And here's what he said, look, count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial. Out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken thereto. 1 Samuel chapter 1 verse 16. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace. And the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. Now, that was the word that came from the man of God. And what did she do? Well, she said, look, let thy handmaid find grace in thy sight. And so she went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. Well, essentially, she took and received this word with gladness. Now, she had been sorrowful before that. She wouldn't even eat. Her husband tried to get her to eat. She said, give me children, lest I die. And the man said, well, am I in the place of God? Am I not better to you than 10 children? She said, no, I want my own children. And she would not eat. She refused to eat all that time. But when she heard the benediction from the man of God and said, go in peace, the Lord grant you your petition, her countenance lightened up. She went rejoicing to her own house, you know, and she was no more sad. And she went and ate. Now, that means she believed, because the whole time she was saddened and she wouldn't eat. Now, immediately she heard the benediction, she received the word with gladness. And at that moment, that word became fulfilled in her. You know, it was already a done deal from that point, as soon as she received that word. And of course, you know the rest of the story. She did get pregnant, and she did have a child, and called his name Samuel. She had tried before many times to get pregnant, and it wasn't working. But now, with the word of the Lord, the word of the Lord close by, she got a hold of it. She believed it. She went rejoicing. I'm sure, you know, she might have praised the Lord as well, and so on. And later on, when she had the child, you know, she fulfilled her vow, because she had vowed to the Lord, well, if you give me a man child, I will lend him to the Lord all the days of his life. And when the Lord did that, she actually fulfilled her vow. Now, some people, you know, do not fulfill their vows when they're saying, Lord, if you do this thing that you have spoken to me, I'm going to do this thing. And then the Lord will do that thing, and then they don't do their vow. That's not a good thing. This woman, you know, she did her vow. Praise the Lord. And the word became fulfilled in her because she sanctified that word, believed it, and went rejoicing. And that's another reaction. Well, let's talk about Zacharias. We talked about Zacharias yesterday and Mary. In the book of Luke chapter 1, this story of the two of them is in the same chapter. Chapter 1, you know, first the angel visited Zacharias while he was ministering in the temple. He was one of the priests, and it was his turn to minister. And he was ministering in the temple, and the angel came to him. I mean, his wife also had been barren. And said to him that, you know, your wife is going to conceive. And, you know, just gave some, you know, word to him. But did he believe it? Of course not. You know, so let's see his reaction. You know, so let me pick it up here from verse 11. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled. Fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth. Now, the angel called his name. The angel knew his name, knew the name of his wife, and knew their situation as well, and said, your wife shall bear thee a son. And he also gave him, you know, not only the word of prophecy, also gave him instruction. You will call his name John. You know, and you're going to have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth, for he shall be great in the sight of the Lord. A tremendous promise and prophecy. Shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, but he will be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. Are you kidding? That's right. Many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. He shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias It was Elijah to turn the hearts of the children, I mean fathers to the children. So he did that part. You know, at the end of the age, the Lord will also bring the hearts of the children back to the fathers. And a combination of the two again. Now, the disobedience of the wisdom of the just is going to make ready a people for the Lord. This was, you know, going to be the fulfillment of Isaiah 40. You know, the Lord's going to send a messenger before the Lord, a voice in the wilderness. But look at, let's take a look at Zechariah's response. Zechariah said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this? You know, for I'm an old man, and my wife was stricken in years. So here is the voice of reason. When the word of prophecy is received, you can either receive it with joy, the voice of faith, or the voice of reason might come in, and the voice of doubt and all kinds of things. This one was a voice of reason, very subtle. I came in, look, I'm an old man. My wife is also well stricken in years. I mean, how in the world is this going to happen now? You know, he should have thought, number one, the angel came. He knew your name. He knew your wife's name. He knew your situation. He gave you this incredible promise. Wouldn't you have fallen upon your face and worshipped? No, he didn't. He did not sanctify the word of promise in his heart. And so the angel was angry with him. You know, but those words were coming to pass anyway. Because they were directly in God's path, you know, for God's divine purposes. So he said, the angel said to him, well, because you did not believe my word. He said, look, I am Gabriel. He was not, I mean, the angel was angry. I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of the Lord, and I come to speak unto you to show you these glad tidings. And you don't believe? My goodness. These are great glad tidings. He told you that this son will be great. You do all these things and so forth. You know, and that your wife will have this child. And he did not believe. Well, the Lord was not going to retract the word because it had divine purpose. It's going to do it, but it's coming, you know, backlash upon this man that did not believe. So the angel said to him, you will be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things are performed, because you did not believe my words, you know, which shall be fulfilled in their season. I wanted to bring this out. The word will be fulfilled in their season. The words of the Lord will be fulfilled in their season, or the word of the Lord will be fulfilled in its season. Now, you may not know what that season may be. We answered a question like that towards the end of the room yesterday. You know, what is the season for the fulfillment? Well, the way I see it is now. When you receive the word of God with joy and gladness and sanctify that word and you worship and believe the Lord, that word is now. From that moment, his wife became like a fertile ground. She was pregnant, she took in. And to this man's chagrin, he was exactly so, and he was dumb until the day that the child was born. You know, now, because the man was, you know, a priest in the house of God, he was supposed to know these things and understand and have, you know, some kind of understanding. He was a priest. But you didn't have understanding, so the angel was angry with him. Well, you go further down and you look at the story of Mary, which we talked about quite a bit yesterday. Mary was actually the center of our lesson, sort of, yesterday. Her own story, you can start to read it. You know, the part I want to bring forth in this chapter, you know, I just talked through these stories yesterday. I didn't really read them. I want to read from verse 34, you know, this, what the angel said to her. You know, well, let me read from verse 26. Now, Elizabeth was pregnant right away, after those things, you know. And she hid herself 5 months, you know. It was like, my goodness, you know. So anyway, and then said with her heart that the Lord has looked kindly upon me to take away my reproach. So in the 6 month, she had been pregnant for 6 months. The same angel Gabriel came unto Mary this time. And it turned out that Mary was Elizabeth's cousin. And the angel came in to Mary and said, "Hail thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women." And when she saw him, she was troubled at the saying, casting her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary." Again, he knew her name. "But thou hast found favor with God. Thou shalt conceive in thy womb. Bring forth a son. I shall call his name Yeshua." Jesus. So you call his name that, he shall be great. Similar thing was said, prophecy for John the Baptist. You know, who was the John that came out of Zechariah and Elizabeth. Now the Lord said, sent his angel to say, give great tidings to Mary. And he said, "Look, he shall be great. He shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end." Put it right out there. And, you know, Mary's like, "Oh, my goodness. You know, how shall this be? Seeing I know not a man." Now, you know, she also asked a question. But in this case, her own question was a bit more legitimate than the question of Zechariah's. Because, I mean, you know, she's a maid, she's a virgin, she's not been with anyone, and she's not going to about to be with anyone, and yet she's going to be pregnant. How in the world is this going to be? See, but the angel wasn't angry with her this time around. First, she was just a maid, she was not a priest, she didn't have knowledge of the holy, you know, like the other man did. But also, you know, the thing that she's supposed to believe is, you know, far more incredible. I mean, it's not that incredible that an old person should conceive, but it's far more incredible that somebody that does not, you know, is not with a man can be pregnant. Who ever heard of such a thing? So, but the angel of the Lord was patient with her and explained it to her and said, "Well, what's going to happen is that the Holy Ghost will come upon you, and the power of power of the Highest shall overshadow you. Therefore, also, I have to explain to him that child that will be born of you will not be the child of Joseph, will not be the child of anybody, but it will be the Son of God, because it's the Holy Ghost that's coming upon you." And he told him, he told her also something. Even your cousin Elizabeth, he knew that too. You know, she also has conceived a son in her old age. You know, so, you know, he told her. And, you know, she's now 6 months pregnant. You know, this same woman who was called barren, angel told her. He said, "Well, with God, nothing shall be impossible." Now, at that point, Mary, when she heard those good tidings, she was no longer doubting anything or even questioning anything. She wasn't really doubting. She was just like, "How in the world is this going to be?" She just needed some more instruction. You know, but when she believed the word of God, this was the lesson I brought out yesterday. The moment that she heard the explanation, she turned around and said, "Behold, the handmaiden of the Lord, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." And when she said that, you know, the angel departed from her. The angel's duty was done. The woman had received the word. From that moment, she was pregnant. Right there, at that moment, the word was made flesh inside of her. Right there, right then. And then she arose and went into, you know, made haste to go into the house of Zechariah to see her cousin Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, she opened the door. Hey, you know, the baby leaped inside her womb. Now, she was already 6 months, you know, pregnant, you know, and she was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she spake with a loud voice and said, blessed art thou among women. Same words that the angel said. And blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? How did she know that? Mary hadn't told her anything, but it was the Holy Ghost that was speaking through her. Because at that moment, Mary was already pregnant with Jesus. Hallelujah. Because she believed the word. And that's it. Right there, you know. And she told Mary, she said, look, blessed is she that believed, because there will be a performance, there shall be fulfillment and realization of those things that were told her from the Lord. And it was such a blessing, and we've been blessed many, many times with this verse, Luke 1:45, in our day, to now recount and say the same thing to encourage ourselves. But that's it. She believed the word of God, and immediately there was fulfillment in her. And so what we are saying is this. Believe the word that there may be fulfillment. But there's a lesson also that I wanted to bring out. More so from yesterday. That, you know, one of the reasons that, you know, the word of God may not become fulfilled, and we may not realize it, is if we're walking in the flesh, you know, and we're not operating, we're not functioning or, you know, oscillating or resonating in the same realm of the Spirit of God. When God gives the word, you know, and, you know, we just can't believe it. We can't receive it. You know, there's this mental or spiritual block that doesn't allow us to receive the word of God. Now, if we do receive the word of God, something happens. But there is an element of how you can receive the word of God. I want to talk about that for just a minute. We read in Exodus chapter 33, you know, and I alluded to this several times, how that God, you know, spoke to Moses. You know, the Bible says that, you know, he used to speak to him, you know, face to face. You know, as a man speaks to his friend. So, now that's face to face. And the lesson here that I want to bring out is we need to move from this face to face relationship. Move from that relationship to in him we live, we move, we have our being. Not that he's here and you are here. You know, in Exodus 33 verse 11, he says, the Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. You know, he came out of there, the Lord would speak to him, and he go to the children of Israel. They will see this glory upon him, he will return, you know, back and forth. You know, but Moses was still here and the Lord was still here. What we need to transition into, and that's coming later on by the grace of God in this platform. What we need to transition into is God is not here and we are there. Where he is, that's where we are. We're now one in him. When you are in him, just like Jesus said, my Father and I are one. In John 10 and 30, you know, it makes it a whole lot easier. And Jesus was so infused with the Father that he was the Father that was doing the works through him. In fact, one time, you know, one of his disciples called Philip asked him this question. I'm sure it wasn't just Philip that had this question in his heart, but Maybe he was the only one that was able to voice it out. And Jesus had been talking about some wonderful things. You know, I go to prepare a place for you and all of that and so forth. You know, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me and so forth. I mean, he's just talking about this. You know, so Philip finally said, look, in John chapter 14, verse 8, this talk about the Father all the time, why don't you just reveal the Father to us? You know, show us the Father already. I mean, and Jesus said, wow, all this time I've been with you and yet you don't know me. Well, that's like a lot of people today. Grow up in the church, sleep in the church, go to the fellowship, hang around all day long, week after week, week after week, year after year, but still don't know the Lord. You know, why are you saying, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am? Listen to this. Don't you believe, believest thou not, verse 10 of John 14, that I am in the Father and the Father in me? This is where we need to be. It's no longer you are here and he's there. You're looking at him face to face. It's like you are in him and he's in you. Praise God. You know, now. And he said, look, the words I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Now that's a revelation for us today. It's the Father that was actually doing the works in Christ. You know, so when we get to that point, you're going to have fulfillment right away because it's no longer you. Paul said, I no longer live, but Christ liveth in me, and I live in him as well. You know, so that's the place where we need to get to. Now, and he said to him, look, if you don't believe this, believe that I am in the Father in me, and if you find it hard to believe that, then I'll give you something that might help you. Believe because of the works that you are seeing done in me and through me by the Father. No man has ever done this kind of works. So Jesus is trying to help him along. But we need to get to the point of, I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, just like Christ. Because according to 1 John, you know, chapter 4, you know, and verse 17, we are told that just the same, where's my verse? Yeah, just the same way he is, so are we. In this world, he said, as he is, so are we in this world. That's the last part of 1 John chapter 4 and verse 17. That's the way we need to be. And when we get to that level, all things are possible. Praise God. Now, how do we walk our way to believing the word of God and sanctifying the word? Well, you know, practice, practice, practice. Practice just taking the word without trying to analyze it and trying to figure out whether it's possible. Can this thing be? If the Lord will open the window of heaven, can this be? How can this thing be? If you just take the word of God as is the word of God, knowing that God has a track record, he's never broken his word and it's not about to start now. Take the word of God as is. If the Lord says it's going to happen, it's going to happen. If the Lord said you are able to go up and take the land, then believe you are able to go up and take the land. Don't come back and say, we can't do it. There are too many giants in the place, and we're like grasshoppers. Well, then you won't do it. You know. But if you are like Caleb and Joshua, and you say, look, we can do it. There is nothing there. These people are bread for us. We'll have them for lunch. You know. Then immediately, something sets into play. So, I wanted to come in here today and just give a review and also allow more time for discussion on this topic. We spent a long time on this yesterday, but along the way, I thought, well, you know, I'll just come back and do a review and open it up again. But the key thing I should go away with today is that I gave also a memory verse of sorts yesterday from Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. And that's key to this lesson. You've got to know, you know, that when God does whatever he's doing, it's perfect. His ways are perfect, you know, and he does it so that we may fear before him. But more importantly, according to verse 15, you need to know that what you think is yet future is already past as far as God's concerned. You know, so that which is, has been, is now. And that which is yet to be has already been. And the Lord required that which is past. So if you can get the revelation of that which is yet to be has already been, you walk in that realm. And that's why I've said, look, we call him Alpha and Omega. And so he is. But I like to see him sometimes as Omega and Alpha. Which means, you know, according to, you know, Isaiah chapter 46 and verse 10, you know, he's already been there. There's nothing that is future to him. You know, he's done it already, and then he starts to do it in your realm. Hallelujah. Praise God. Here's what he says in Isaiah 46 and verse 10. He said, look, I am the Lord that declares the end from the beginning, and even from ancient times, the things that are not yet done. You know, he's already declared them. They're not yet done in your realm, but as far as he's concerned, they're already done. And if you understand that, then you will know that his counsel will stand, and I will do all my pleasure, saith the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Now, with that understanding, we can begin to walk in the fulfillment of the word of promise. Don't let your doubt have doubt. Some people say doubt your doubt. Well, better doubt your doubt, but don't speak any doubt out. You know, cleanse this out of your mind completely. Take the word of God with rejoicing and praising the Lord. You know, when you hear the word, take it with joy. Rejoice and praise the Lord ahead of the actual visible manifestation of the thing. You know, that's what Jehoshaphat did. But if you say within your heart, or can this thing be? Then be careful now, you know, that you may miss out. So we've seen some lessons here and there and so forth. Now, in summary, I want to say to us that for the last year or more, the Lord has been giving us some tremendous encouragement that we will emerge. And some people actually believe that, latch onto it, and it'll happen for them in their lives. They had to experience some good movement, you know. But there may be areas where there's still stagnation. And this lesson is supposed to help us get movement. When the Lord says the word, sanctify it in your heart. Believe it. And in that moment that you believe, it already come to pass in the spirit. And then the rest of it is just to act it out. Play, you know, it's just act it out. But the Lord already, it's already done. It's a done deal the moment you believe. You know, so this is what I'm trying to get us to learn in this lesson. You know, recognize that the moment that you receive the word and believe it, it becomes flesh. The Bible says of Mary in John chapter 1. Verse 14. That was actually what he was saying. The word was made flesh. How? Well, I mean, the moment that Mary believed it and it dwelt among us. Well, it took several months, you know, for her to still carry that word, you know, carry that pregnancy to term. But the moment she received and believed the word, she became pregnant. That's it. Right there. Now, this year is also pregnant of many good things for many people. Well, come and get yours. The Lord had promised last year that we will emerge. And the same God promised this year, a year of the quantum leap. Well, how must you then enter in and get yours? Jesus said in John chapter 6 and 63, he said, look, it is the spirit that gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak, they are spirit and life. So when you hear the word of God in the flesh, it will profit you nothing. But you, if you receive it in the spirit, it will quicken and become life. And immediately you hear the word of God, receive it in the spirit, it's done. It's a done deal. Now, it may take a few months for the thing to play out. You know? Or even it may take, you know, a year or more. Doesn't matter. But from the point that you believe it, the word is made flesh inside of you. Just like Mary. She believed the word. It became flesh in her. And became union. One with the word. And later bring forth the fruit thereof. Father, I thank you, Lord, for this lesson again. I pray that it'll help us to believe the word that is spoken, that we may receive and see the end of it. Hallelujah. Receive the word today or on the day that you hear it. Receive it with joy and gladness and praising and worshiping the Lord. And then see it play itself out. Hallelujah. You may still need to pray along the way. Pray that promise through. Just like Elijah had to do with the promise of rain. Jesus himself had to do. We talked about these things, you know, over the last few weeks and even yesterday. Still had to pray that through. But nonetheless, you know, when you're praying it through, it is praying, you know, for you to stay unshakable and for you to receive strength. The word of God will come to pass. You know, said these words shall be fulfilled in their season. It'll come to pass. And may the word come to pass in each of our lives. And the Lord grant you thy petition according to your own heart's desire, in accordance to his own will. And that which he has spoken over you will no longer be delayed. The moment you believe it, hallelujah, word becomes flesh in you. And the Lord will watch over it. From that point on, providence will watch over the fulfillment of that word in your life. The same providence that watched over that baby in Mary's womb would not allow Herod or anybody kill the baby. Thank you, Father. We give you the praise and give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.